This is the Freedom Beast. Broadcasting from Pod B to A mile above sea level at Intergalactic Ferry Studios. We alter your locus coordinates by warning your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working, Katie Green?
Thank you, Daniel. I feel moved. I'm Katie Green. I'm here with my husband, Dan Green. This is the Freedom Fiends. Dan, it's been a wee while since we've been on together.
It really is.
How are you? I haven't seen you in a while. Yeah. I'm just kidding. I live with you. You're here all the time.
And we should also mention, just before we go on, that the Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT nay-government license.
Nay-government license, so it allows reuse by anyone. Except governments.
Except governments.
Learn more at BIPCOT.org. BIPCOT.org. I'm not saying it again.
Yes. So, like we said, I'm Dan Green with my lovely wife, Katie.
Yes.
Katie's back.
I'm back. I'm back for today. It's good fun. I thought, hey, man, let's do a Fiends.
Is that what you thought?
Yeah, you know, it'll be day off. Let's do a Fiends. It's good fun. And we get to talk about things.
We get to talk about things that move us.
Things that are on our mind.
Yes, and yeah. We will be doing that.
We will be doing that.
We apologise in advance.
Oh, yeah, of course, absolutely. If you're listening to this, this is your fault. You've brought this on yourself. So let's move on. Dan and I have been watching documentaries because we're smart people, you know, like that. It's all we watch.
Yeah.
That and cartoons.
We're smart folks.
Sort of 80-20 cartoons, documentaries.
You're not supposed to say it's 80-20 in favour of the cartoons.
Yeah. Well, I was hoping people thought I meant 80-20 documentaries, but if that's where we are, that's where we are.
No, we have been, and we actually, oh, we're going to take it to that place. We started watching documentaries about Kurt Cobain.
Now, I'm going to throw my hands up. Didn't know the dude. Didn't know anybody that he knew.
Nobody assumes you did.
I know. I'm just saying, like, disclaimer, I don't know anything about this, and I'm going to talk about the documentaries and what I saw.
Okay.
And just take it from that.
Right.
With no prior knowledge of this Kurt Cobain or who he is. So, yeah, but we watch the documentaries.
Well, do you know what it is? It's because, like, maybe I don't really listen to Nirvana much anymore, but, like, I really used to a lot, like, way back in...
I remember.
Like, I was a teenager, man.
I knew you.
It was one of those things that I was, like, I was into the grunge thing, but, like, 10 years later...
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like 10 years after it was kind of over.
Well, it was the mid-2000s was like our sort of late teenage years, so that makes sense.
It does make sense.
You weren't going to be like, you know, totally into him when you were like 9.
Well, do you know what the thing was though? Actually, I mean, like, I did listen to Nirvana when I was like in primary school.
Weird well, I remember,
that sounds.
Yeah.
It's caused my brother in that. He was older.
Well, you had an older brother,
Guns N' Roses and Nirvana, and that scarred my childhood.
Yeah. Well, I'll be honest, I didn't listen to Nirvana until I was late teenager, long after Kurt Cobain had passed, so I wouldn't say I was a huge fan. As you know, I liked them. And I still like them.
Hmm. You're just more interested in the stuff behind it?
Well, no, I wouldn't say that. I just mean, like, I was fascinated to see the documentaries, and for anybody wondering, the ones we watched were... Soaked in Bleach, which
is the unofficial one.
Yeah, that's from the point of view of, like, the reporter guy.
There was a private investigator that Courtney Love had hired, apparently, to find Kurt Cobain. This is the story that runs through that. And then, like, this is him talking about, apparently, he then turned against.
Yeah. I mean, you know...
We'll get into that.
People can kind of take it as, like, that is his job, and maybe he's just looking for fame. I mean, that's one of the arguments people might say, is this guy's just wanting to be famous and, you know, talk about this case forever. That's one argument I've heard. But then again, you know, you look at the stuff that's in the documentary, and you go, well, but things can be painted, so...
Yeah, one of the basic insinuations is that, like, in that documentary, Soaked in Bleach, is that Kurt Cobain may have been killed by someone.
Now, that's what people are insinuating, I don't know.
That's the thing. I mean, what interests me most about this is how someone with that level of fame, such as maybe Courtney Love had, might be able to get away with something like that, which is a kind of scary factor. See, when you think about it, like, they've got the money and the influence.
Yeah, I don't know.
get to that probably a bit more.
Because we got in, I mean, we were watching it, and you have to remember everything is painted a certain way. You can't take anything as gospel. But when you were watching it, some of the stuff, I suggest you go watch it yourself. You can download it. We got it on a torrent.
No, we didn't.
We never got it on a torrent. I bought it like a good person. I don't even think you can buy that. I don't know.
But and then there's the official Kurt Cobain documentary.
Montage of Heck.
Which was interesting as well.
Well, we didn't get all the way through it though, did we, Dan?
No, we didn't.
We got to a point in it. Now, this was... Montage of Heck was much more of an intimate look at Nirvana. They had permission from...
It's the official story.
It's the official one. It's like they've got all the Nirvana music. Apparently, Kurt's journal entries and stuff. Although, it was a confusing documentary to the point of... They had these bits where an actor said the stuff and it was all a cartoon.
Oh, yeah. It was basically... Was it meant to be like from Kurt Cobain's journal?
No, see, this is what I don't know, because the movie just said this is just a montage of audio clips, recordings.
Because it breaks into all these weird scenes where it's like a cartoon representation of Kurt Cobain.
Well, see, I assume that's his journal entries. If not, it's nonsense, because it didn't...
Do you know there was one that was really strange, and I don't know why they decided to include this story, and it's all this stuff about kind of weed, like, yeah. Oh, he was like Kurt was smoking weed and stuff like that, and then like there's all this stuff about him and his friends and this disabled girl.
Yeah, it's really bizarre.
And like, they're supposed to have like stolen from her to get... It always seemed a wee bit anti-weed. And then there's this kind of weird thing about...
Where he was like, weed could no longer solve all my problems and stuff. And
it was kind of like
an anti...
And then there's a weird thing about him like trying to have sex with her or something like that.
It was an odd story, I'll be honest with you.
I just wondered what it was doing in there. It didn't make any sense to me.
It never gave any...
Maybe it has some relevance that I'm missing.
Maybe.
I'm a bit stupid.
You are. Maybe we need to watch it again. Maybe that's it. Maybe it's above our heads.
It's a bit
too highbrow for you, maybe.
Seeing that official documentary as well, when they interviewed Chris Novoselic, who was obviously the bass player in Nirvana, yes. It just came up as Kurt's friend.
He wasn't known for anything else. He was just his friend. But no, I thought it was... I did think it was well made. Though it was well done, but I preferred Soaked in Bleach. Montage of Heck, I had to, we turned it off because someone came into it that I can't stand, and I don't want to be mean about that.
Don't be mean on the radio.
No, I don't want to be mean about that. But there was someone on the screen that wouldn't get off the screen that I just can't take. So
talking about Chris Novoselic, there is a Freedom Fiends.
Oh yeah, where Michael and Nima interview Chris Novoselic. I listened to it. It's very, very good.
It's important to get that out there.
Of course, yeah. No, it was a good interview. Yeah, so I liked it.
The thing is, like, see, I know that, like, I'm not conspiracy theorizing.
Yes,
right?
You are. Let's not.
But I think one of the problems is that Courtney Love never comes across well. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, she never ever comes across well.
She's obviously listening because she's a big fan of our work, and she's obviously here. I'm so sorry, Courtney, for my husband.
But do you know what I mean, though? Yeah. It's like, I know that obviously she's like painted in a certain way. I mean,
we only know her as the person that's painted in the media, so I only know that version of her. But
what's interesting is like taking something like and the documentary talking about Soaked in Bleach, and the private investigator, he says that she was hardly ever wearing anything. Anytime he went up, she was always kind of half naked. But then in the official documentary, there's these kind of like these wee bits of like camcorder footage of like her and Kurt, and she's always getting her tits out and stuff. And
can you say that on radio?
I think so. Breasts. Boobs.
Okay, I think we've got the point. Yeah. Aye.
But anyway, she's always getting them out. Yeah. And
that's an attention thing, though.
Is it attention?
I knew girls like that. I knew guys like that too, that were just like attention. Just
see, it's the weird thing. Like, it's,
well, that's just, I mean, that's the way she, I don't know, maybe that's the way she is. I don't know. It feels weird theorizing about someone I don't know.
I know, it does, doesn't it?
It does. It feels wrong. It feels gross.
But like, you can't help it. That's what interests me more about stuff like this, because like, you get totally sucked in because there's all these different sides of it.
But then you remember that these are actual people and these are their lives, and he had a kid and stuff. You know, you start to think, like, you start to feel bad. Like, I started to feel bad about it once. I was sort of going, what happened to this man? And then I started going, this is none of my business. Like, I felt almost kind of bad about it.
I know what you
I'm mean. Sure that you get that as well, though.
I know what you mean. You kind of wonder, because like you said, they had a child. So you wonder what, you know, what it's like for her when there's, like, people saying, oh, your mum had your dad killed and
that
stuff
must
like
be
that.
Rotten.
You know,
that would rotten. That's my version. That must be traumatizing. Yes, yeah. I couldn't imagine that. But anyway, no. I suggest that if anybody hasn't seen them, go watch them.
Absolutely, man.
Yeah, it was good, and like, it's interesting to.
Would you know some of the thing as well about the Montage of Heck documentary, the official one?
Yeah.
It's like they take all these wee bits from his journals and they highlight things, and some of it's a bit sort of overdramatic and weird, right? But like, he was a young man at that time. I've got like journals from that time.
Oh, and that stuff.
All sorts of weird stuff.
Ridiculous, yeah.
Like, all sorts of weird stuff.
Yeah.
So like, I wouldn't like it if someone was like basing a documentary on my life as well about those kind of things.
And yeah, so like a...
Well, I mean, who's choosing what passages come out and what ones stay in?
That's the thing. I mean,
is it to suit the narrative?
I've read your journals, you know. There's a lot in there.
A lot in there.
Yeah, there's a lot. But I mean, I could have picked out bits and gone, oh, well, this is why he's, I don't know.
Weird.
This is why, yeah, this is why you're weird.
Crazy.
I don't think I can pinpoint why you're weird, dude. It's just as you just are.
There's too much to it. But no, it's an interesting thing. I mean, yeah. It's totally plausible. I mean, there's things that it's totally plausible that he could have been murdered.
Well, look, man, they were into, you know, they were into heroin. They, you know, I never done it, but I imagine when you're in that world, that's what your world's about.
Yeah, like William Burroughs in the book Junkie said, when you become a heroin addict, your life narrows down to junk.
I don't want to talk about that too much, because I don't know all about a lot about that, so...
It's not the point of the exercise.
It's not.
What is interesting is, though, they seem to have, like, some people around them who were, like, Kurt and Courtney, I mean, who were seen to be, like, kind of hangers-on.
Well, they knew a lot of folk, and
yeah, like
they had
from
a lot
their
of money.
Days, like, you know, and it's the funny thing that they were in such a weird position, because it's like, you've got basically a junkie who has no way of making an income. You know, and you could...
And you just throw billions and billions of dollars at them.
I'm not saying anything I'm not saying this did happen, but I'm saying you could see why Courtney Love could have thrown some money someone's way.
And on that happy note, we'll be right back after these messages.
The tempo up.
Some messages from our sponsor. Barney. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Welcome back to the Freedom Fiends. Bed Radio. I'm here with Dan Green.
Hello.
And I'm Katie Green.
We were talking before the break about Kurt Cobain and
we were.
Some of the theories surrounding his death, which is, sorry, I'll kid on, I'm on radio.
Yes,
now.
You should speak like you're on the radio, Dan.
Sorry, I'm just so relaxed. I'm just like...
We're pretty chilled today. We're both off today, which is nice, you know.
Yes.
So that's good. It's going to be a good day. It's really early in the morning here, by the way, which is why
we're in Scotland.
We are in bonnie, bonnie Scotland. I'm looking outside at the moors.
The moors.
And the haggis running free. And the man in the kilt outside, like a rooster, to wake us up.
Making incoherent Scottish noises.
Yes, with his bagpipes. Okay. So
racism aside.
Racism aside, we were talking about the Kurt Cobain documentaries.
Yeah, and like... So these kind of theories that like Kurt Cobain's been murdered have been around like a long time.
They've been around since the time it started.
And there is all this weird stuff, you know, whether you believe everything's like true or not. What's interesting is we were talking before the break about those two documentaries, the official one, Montage of Heck and Soaked in Bleach, which is the unofficial sort of one that probes more into his death.
His death rather than his life. Montage of Hicks more just about his life.
And the thing about Soaked in Bleach is, I mean, it's got all these recordings supposedly of Courtney Love and talking and saying a lot of things that don't paint her in a good light.
I know, like, but again...
That's the thing, is how selective is this? Do you know what I mean? This is the problem. Like, how selective are these recordings?
Are the recordings? I don't know if they were all of them. You also have to look at who's making the documentary and why they're doing it. You know, who benefits from that? So, I don't know. It's an odd one, and I don't think we'll ever know. I mean, that's one of those things that people will talk about it probably.
There is a lot of... I mean, the funny thing is, it's totally plausible, like, why it could have happened if it was a murder, because, like, I mean, I said before the break, you think about it, they'd kind of hangers on from the old days.
Well, there was also rumours of divorce. That was the big thing. It was, like, their lawyers and that... Their former lawyer...
Yeah,
aye. Is Kurt and Courtney's former lawyer is in Soaked in Bleach. She basically says that Kurt was filing for divorce, and that would have left... They had a prenup that would have left her... without a lot of money. I don't know how true that is either. This is what the documentary says, so...
I love how we're so non-committal about
it. I want to make it really clear that I don't have an opinion on this. I just want to present people with the...
I am presenting the facts.
I present the facts, okay?
I encourage you, the listener, to make up your own mind.
You make up your own mind. But no, I just think it's one of those things that people are going to speculate about, and we won't know. Nobody will know what happened, ever.
Aye, but the kind of thing I was saying as well is, like, so you sort of imagine, like, you've got these kind of hangers-on from the old days, and they're sort of, like, you know, heroin addicts and stuff, and you say to one of them, look, do this for me, and I'll pay your rent and stuff, you know, I'll keep you in heroin
$10 million, just shut your mouth.
I mean, that's the thing, it'd be compelling if you were, like, in that position to take that money, because, I mean, how many people, like, that are just kind of heroin addicts with no prospects... like you who
where
got
are they going to get millions from?
I'm not saying it happened again with the non-committal attitude.
It was actually Dan, how old were you in 1994?
I was about six or something.
So you could have done it. I'm just saying, there's no proof you didn't.
There is no proof.
Where were you on that day, 1994, sir?
I'm quite sure I was in Scotland.
Okay. I believe you. I believe you.
Do you know what I remember, actually? I remember because, like, our brother was older and he was in Nirvana and stuff. I remember my mum let us stay up late to watch the news report after he died. And I remember, like, our brother having that Kerrang! Magazine and stuff and it had, like, the big picture
was
of him.
Was he clutching it and crying?
No, that was me.
That was you, yeah. I don't understand death. You were like six.
This is a weird concept for me.
This is a weird concept for me to grasp. Right, anyway. But they were they were good documentaries, like I say. You know, just, I say to anybody out there listening, watch them.
Yeah, these kind of things are interesting because I would say, like, what still interests me, who doesn't listen to much Nirvana anymore, is, like, it did have an impact on me a lot when I was younger.
You can hear that, too, in everything you do, musically.
everything you do.
No, but, like, it's there. Like, you can tell. Like,
I still even dress in that way. Like, I walk about with, like, flannel shirts and ripped jeans on.
You just sort of chose that style, and then you just never changed it. You were, like, 14, and you went, I'm going to wear flannel and chucks and jeans and t-shirts, and you just stuck with that. That's fine.
It's a very safe model.
It's your aesthetic. It's fine.
It's your aesthetic.
It's like your aesthetic, you know?
I don't even know what that means.
It's like, well, it's what you identify with.
Right. So you're saying big words here, you know, and it's awfully early in the morning in Scotland.
I'm really sorry.
I'll let's go for a nap over the break.
let's discuss this over the break, over a coffee. We'll be right back after this trip to the free market. Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Hey, this is Squisklar Squiggles from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the... you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now. So there you go.
tired of those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons, and you'll get these nifty designs. Buy sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
Two designs for Guns and Weed, the Road to Freedom.
Three designs for Fiend Phone.
Bipcot No Gov.
A Freedom Fiends Worms button.
And Ask Me About My Worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
And now they're bigger buttons.
They used to be 1 1/4 inch. Now they're 1 3/4 inch. Dan, they're bigger buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Back to the Freedom Fiends, Kurt Cobain-a-thon.
Yeah, we're talking about it. We're going there.
We're going there. We are there.
It's controversial.
We should also just mention at this point that Barack Obama is a liar, a socialist, and his feet stink.
I've heard that. I can't think of where I've heard that before, but I've heard that.
I've heard it somewhere.
Yes.
And David Cameron might be a lizard, we don't know.
He could be. He's not human anyway, that's true. So anyway, what were we talking about?
It's the libertarian portion of the show.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we're talking about Kurt Cobain and stuff. You know, one of the things about Nirvana is like, I don't know, I liked a lot of the music, but I think some of it's kind of overrated because there was a lot of bands that were around at the time that were doing like similar things. You know what I mean? To be honest, like now, like the album I like best was the first one they did, Bleach. You know, like it was on Sub Pop. I mean, it was heavier and it was. I don't know.
You've always said that, like, yeah.
I still have the Bleach T-shirt.
I know. I remember. I can picture it in my mind. You've had that for like, how many years have you had that T-shirt for?
I don't know. I'm not that old, but the T-shirt's starting to get a bit old.
Yeah, the T-shirt's looking a bit old.
It bothers me that I've got underwear older than some people that are walking about.
You do, actually. You have underwear from your teenage years.
I mean, I know some people have got underwear that's like probably the age I am.
Older than you.
I'm just saying I'm at that point where it's starting to freak me out already at this young age.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm already worried about it.
It's like the teenagers walking around like with iPhones and you're like, my underwear is older than you. It's true, man.
Scary stuff, man. I don't know. Do you listen to much Nirvana?
Yeah, I have. I'll be honest with you. The only song off Bleach, I think, is Breed.
No, that was on Nevermind.
Right, then I do not have anything from Bleach on my MP3 player. It's mostly Nevermind in Utero and the live sessions, the MTV live sessions.
That live acoustic gig they did was just a brilliant gig.
I really enjoy, you know, MTV live acoustic gigs. The other one I enjoy, apart from the Nirvana one, was The Cure.
They did that when they were all in like a massive bed.
Oh, it was so nice. It was so 90s. It was, well, probably 80s at that time, but
aye.
It was just so, it was so cool. They had like all the candles and the flowers and stuff, and it was done in the cool studio. They had the bed and all the...
No, there was a lot of those cool, they did a lot of those cool like unplugged sessions.
They don't do them anymore. Like, well, I mean, they probably do, but it's probably all online. And
I don't think there's music on MTV anymore.
I don't think there's music on MTV. That's been a long-standing.
This is we're going to sound like old people.
I know. There's no music on there anymore.
I'm not sure about it. They call it music television.
They call it music TV. Where's the music?
Where's all the music?
Yeah, no. I know. It's been that way for a while. Dad and I have a theory that had Kurt Cobain maybe lived, he'd be like Ozzy Osbourne now.
Well, you just don't know how these things go, do you know what I mean? Like, I mean, can you imagine, like say, for example, Ozzy Osbourne had died after Black Sabbath had made Volume 4 or something when it was just the good albums before?
He would be infamous right now. He would be like, well, he's still infamous.
But he'd be like Jim Morrison or John Lennon, probably, you know, one of those sort of mythical characters.
Yeah.
Because that's the problem, you know, it's that...
People put artists up on pedestals.
People have been talking about this forever. It's that burnout or fade away thing, you know. People have been talking about this kind of notion forever.
It's quite a romantic idea, but at the same time, it's tragic.
You could do the thing Sid Barrett did, and instead of killing yourself, you could just become a recluse for, like, the rest of your life.
That sounds nice. Sounds fun.
Sounds good right now.
I'm going to do that today.
Phone up your work and go, hello, I'm becoming a recluse.
I'm becoming a recluse. Let's talk about my pay.
I'm going to work on my gardening.
And they'll be like, okay, bye. You're fired.
It's an interesting thing, though. Yeah. I mean, like, I don't know, like, who knows what would have happened?
The thing was, I just think they got way too famous. Like, I just think it was the level of...
There really is too famous, and that is too famous. I mean,
the level of fame that they found was ridiculous. That was like Beatles fame.
It was massive. Like, it was, they were like the biggest band in the world all of a sudden.
Like you said, they were good, but there were a lot of other groups doing the same thing at the time.
I know, it's one of those weird things, isn't
it? But, you know, I don't know.
I don't know, it just depends. I don't know, I just find it fascinating, though. I mean, like, Dave Grohl never really seems to talk much about it.
Well, you know, it could just be that, you know, that's his life. I mean, for us, it's like a story that we watch on TV, but for him, that was his life. So
it could probably
just be that his friend died, and he was sad about it, and he just went, screw it, I'm not going to talk about it.
Yeah.
Which is fair enough, because he doesn't owe the world anything. He doesn't have to talk about it.
I think that's the thing as well, like... It is easy for us, like, to watch it and to make all these theories and that.
It's a story for us on TV, but...
That is their life, do you know what I mean? Like, for us, it's just...
Yeah, there were people that were totally affected by it, so... Sometimes I like to remind myself, when you get sort of carried away with these celebrity stories, just remind yourself that this is a person, and it might not be all at sea. Like, I just like to remind myself that that's someone's life.
Well, it's like, we were talking about, like, beauty magazines and stuff like that, and they'll, like, you get some of the sections in them, and they'll have pictures of someone, like some celebrity in somewhere, like really hot, like California, and they'll be have a pig picture of their armpits, and they'll be like, look, this person has awful sweat marks, and you go, yeah, they're in California, it's probably really hot,
like, boiling over there.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's one of those things, and it seems like when you become a celebrity, you get put under insane scrutiny.
That's why, like, they were trying to get me to join the celebrity world, and I was like, no, man, that's not my bag. And they were like, come join us. I was like, no. Like, I don't want to be as famous as you, man.
Well, do you know what's funny? It's even, like, say, in my work as a mailman, right? Like, sometimes if you maybe put something wrong through it, like a wrong letter through someone's door by accident, that's the thing. People, like, some people, not everyone, but some people, like, actually phone up the office and stuff and, like, complain to your manager and things like that. And it's like, have you never made mistakes before? You know, like, I've done this one time. You get stuff like that.
Could you imagine if you were famous and you made a mistake and then, like, everyone knew?
Exactly.
It was in the paper. You'd be like, oh, God.
Yeah, it's like the same principle, but it's just massively inflated.
That would be awful. No, I've always said that, like, you and I have always talked, and, like, you talk about stuff like fame, and I've heard a lot of people say, I'd love to be famous. I was like, oh, no, that would be gross.
Too much pressure.
Too much pressure, man. Like, I don't even, like, I get nervous just being a regular human being. I get nervous just walking outside being me.
That should be the name of your one-woman show. I get nervous just being a regular human being.
That's the name of
the Katie
show.
Green Experience.
Katie Green Experience. It's like a ride. Strap in. I'll take you through my life. It'd be like one of those rides where it's like you don't move, but
one of those
like
terrifying rides from my
neighbors.
It'd
be like a 3D ride, like the Spider-Man at Universal, where you're strapped. You don't move, but you feel like you're moving.
Ah, yeah.
And it's like all weird.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can show you later if you want. Like,
do you have this built? Do you have a prototype?
It's an installation in the hallway.
Like, in some garage, some lockup somewhere.
It feels like you're moving, but you're not. It's an experience. And, like, I blow air at your feet to make it feel like, you know, there's, like, things running.
What's the premise? I mean, are we just seeing lots of representations of you? Are we supposed to be inside your body?
I'm going
to
tell you what it is, or else you're not going to come see it, are you?
That's a really good point. I can't really argue with that.
It's probably
going to
be like a montage of things from my life.
It's like a montage of heck.
No. No.
Do you think somebody might have used that already?
That might have been used already. Might have been talking about it. Not half an hour ago. I'd like to take this point in the show to say that our dog is incredibly cute, and he is sleeping on our bed.
You have this thing about giving the dog shout-outs on the radio.
He's awesome. Look at him. He just doesn't care about anything.
Does the dog get upset with you if you don't give him a shout-out on the radio?
He's my sponsor. I'm sponsored by Barney. I'm legally obliged to give him a shout-out every hour.
The dog sponsors you?
Yeah, he does. He gives me moral support, which, you know, is priceless. All day long. So
I am married to her, and I'm not her carer.
Unfortunately, I'm so sorry. That's your problem. That sounds like a you problem, not a me problem.
But a me problem.
That's
but,
a you problem.
That's the thing about, like, I suppose that's the thing of people being famous, because you see people that get famous sort of too quickly, and some of them really do have these like extreme meltdowns.
Yeah.
Like, even. This will sound daft, right? But like,
go ahead.
Susan Boyle. Like, everyone remembers Susan Boyle, her that was on.
That was a shame for her, because like she was, I think she was totally exploited. Like, they saw her as total cash cow.
Right, of course, but she, like, do you remember she kind of went a bit funny at one point? She had like, she'd stormed out of somewhere and stuff, and she'd kind of like, and like, you were just thinking that's someone that's been kind of quiet all their life.
All of a sudden.
I think she just lived with her mom and stuff, and she didn't have like a fancy, like, she's just like a kind of ordinary, regular
person.
She's
just a normal lady.
Kind of a shyish person, and then all of a sudden, man, like, everyone knows who you are, and it must be really bizarre.
That must be disgusting. No, that's a level
it makes
of.
Makes me feel dirty.
It does. That's a level of, Is notoriety the wrong word? What does that word mean?
I'm too stupid to know if...
You are. That level of fame, let's just say, is that sounds gross.
It does to me.
And I feel kind of... Not bad for them, because they have much more money than I do, but I don't feel good. Like, I think I do feel sad for people who are followed around by people and stuff. And
I wonder how much compensation the money is. Like, do you know what I mean?
Do you think,
like,
it's worth it?
But you know, some people would think I'm crazy for saying this, but like, I'm honestly not sure. I mean, like,
no, your freedom. Think about freedom.
And we're talking about being insanely famous, you know, we're not talking about, like, every now and then someone in some bar goes, hey, I saw you live, dude. You know, not
where,
like,
are you? What bar are you in? Who talks
I
like
don't
that?
Know, man. I'm in Dunoon.
In Dunoon?
People talk like that
All
in
the
Dunoon.
Cool people live in Dunoon.
Aye.
Right. Is this the new Glasgow? But
aye. But, aye. No. You got me thinking of it, Dunoon. I know. I'm talking about being like insanely famous.
So am I. Like, that would be gross.
Like photographers following you about.
Because
famous.
If we value freedom. I value freedom above most. Also, why would I give that up?
Well, exactly.
And that's, you know.
And that's the thing about, like, almost as well, like, being high up in politics.
I'm
and
saying
stuff
it like it's a choice. Like, I'm not famous because I like my freedom.
The offers keep pouring in, and I keep just
keep
rejecting
them.
I keep saying no. Well, it does sound like that, but
I know. Trust me.
It's also as well, like, see, like, sort of high level politicians and stuff. It's the same kind of thing. I mean, you're not very free at all, because, like, you know, you have to have bodyguards and stuff because people want to beat you up.
No wonder, though. I think to become a politician, I mean, we've said this umpteen times, I think you need to be a little bit psychopathic, and you need to be a little bit wanting to be famous. I think people that are politicians are
both. They want to be famous, but they're not good at things.
Yeah.
Except for lying.
And on that note, we'll be right back after this trip to the food market.
Worms.
Worms.
Listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts. My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains, because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CatMuff, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CatMuff, because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
The Freedom Fiends. I'm Kay Green, and yes, you are in the Matrix. I'm here with my husband Dan Green. We're talking about a plethora of things, mostly to do with Kurt Cobain.
Talking about fame as well.
We were talking more about fame actually now, and how gross it sounds.
Kay forgets what we're talking about.
I do. I often forget what we're talking about in life in general.
Why don't you? You often talk on when you're on the show about doing a one woman show.
Ah, yes.
So why don't you do
one woman show?
Why don't you do a one woman show based on the life and events of Kurt Cobain?
I could. What would I call it? Montage of me, and then it would just be like bits from my life. I go, I can really relate to what they were saying here. Because I would like that too.
And then
I
would talk about
my own experience. I don't know where
I'm at.
My life, bro. Yeah, so I could do my one woman show. I talk about it a lot. It's never happening.
Let's just make it.
I'm not allowed to do one. If I ever come to you and say, I'm doing a one woman show, I want you to slap me in the face.
No, man, don't ruin it. Let's start a hashtag. Let's like hashtag Katie's one woman show.
Katie's one woman show. I need idea. I just want punch. I just want taglines. I don't want any actual. All I want is like.
This will commit you to doing it.
I know.
If you go there and you go hashtag.
So Katie Green : what would be the tagline to my life story?
Is that the goal for the hashtag?
I don't know.
Like, do you want?
It was
titles?
Your idea, so this sounds like your
tagline,
baby.
By tagline, do you mean title?
Yeah, like a title. I just want like a catchy title. Like,
you just
like,
try to use show busy words.
Yeah, I'm just trying to use buzzwords.
One we were talking about before was it?
We hadn't thought this through.
You can't stop a fungus.
No, that's gross. That was one that we did a while ago.
I know. I was just thinking that was probably the best one we've had to date. I would
fungus.
Say
you can't, man. That thing will just...
That'll just grow.
That'll destroy you. I don't know. I don't have any other ideas for
what about Katie Green, filth to the rescue?
Filth to the rescue?
Aye.
I like that. I like filth.
Do you?
Yeah. Like weird stuff.
I don't know, so... If anyone's got ideas.
Yeah, if anyone knows what we should do here with this, please get in touch.
But then if people get in touch, you see, then you're committed to doing it, then you have to do it.
I don't want to commit to this.
Is it because you don't want all the fame? Because it would be too much
obviously
pressure.
Obviously, it would be too much. People would be like, oh, you're like so good. I'd be like, okay, whatever, man. I'm just chill, you know?
And then all of a sudden, you would be propelled into a world of fame that you weren't prepared for.
And I'd have like people like... Bradley Cooper on the phone being like, I want to go out with you.
Is
like,
that the first one that comes to
Bradley
mind for
Cooper?
You?
I don't know why. We watched Wet Hot American Summer recently. I think that he's on my mind.
How did we not know that movie existed till like a month ago?
Just,
I find that to be insane given
I
the
really
amount of
liked
people
it.
That are in it and stuff.
I really liked it. David Hyde Pierce is even in it and I just
made
really
a recent
loved
TV
it.
Show that's on Netflix.
Yeah. Oh no, watch it. It's great. The film was done 2001. It's really funny. Big SNL cast. Kind of thing like Amy Poehler. Bradley Cooper was his first feature film, so that's why I talked about Bradley Cooper a bit there.
So that's how you got on there.
That's how my mind works, you know. And I'd have like, you know, like I don't know.
Are you one of his show?
Who's a thing? Penn Badgley from Gossip Girl.
I still don't believe that Penn Badgley's a real person.
Penn Badgley is a real person. Okay, he was in Gossip Girl and he's in a band now.
Are you sure?
Yes.
You're going to have to prove this to me.
Penn Badgley. You can look him up. He's a thing.
He's a thing?
He's a thing in the kids' world. I don't think he's a thing in kids' world anymore, but like One Direction, they're a thing.
Are you just trying to name things that kids
I'd have
would
One
say?
Direction on the phone. being like, oh, come here, like, come over and hang, and I'd be like, no.
There's a radio station here in Scotland, and it's like a total hit music station called
Capital.
And I've just got, I mean, how Marxist does that sound? And I've just got to say, like, there's guys that sound older than me on
They are older than you.
And, like, it's the morning, and sometimes this comes on, like, if I'm in work, and this guy, it's like, everyone's, you know, red-eyed and tired, and this guy's like, all right, it's Capo. So I'm not going to do radio like that.
All right, Capo Radio.
I'm going to listen to a bit of One Direction like that.
And we'll be right back after this break.
With less harsh Scottish radio.
With less harsh Scottish noises.
Mellow Scottish radio.
Less One Direction and less Penn Badgley.
Yeah. One woman show. Katie's one woman show.
We're not doing it. It's not happening. My struggle with myself. My life.
We'll be back after the news for more of whatever this is.
Green, I'm off my meds. No, I am on my meds, sir. Forever.
Oh, thank God.
Thank goodness. I'll be right back after this.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Anti-war, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
Welcome back to the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Re-Education Center's low orbit iron cannon. High atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by the BIPCOT No Government License and allows you to be used by anyone except for government. So like I say, we are the Freedom Fiends where you cannot phone in for your own benefit. That's for your
protection. It's to protect you, the listener, from cases like us.
Yeah, we're fine. But it's for your benefit, not ours.
You shouldn't be exposed to us.
Yeah, no, nobody should, actually. This should be a crime. So, Dan, we're talking a little bit in the first hour about Kurt Cobain and, rock, that sort of music at that time. Mm-hmm. Let's
talking a bit about fame.
Yeah, fame. I'm going to live forever.
Yeah.
I'm going to learn how to fly. Is that the song? I don't know. I think it is. But fame.
Can you imagine Kurt Cobain did a cover of that?
Yes, I can, sir.
That would be amazing.
Fame! That's my Kurt Cobain.
See, I was like, well, I tried to do a Kurt Cobain impression, and then I thought, nah, better not, but I love how you did it anyway.
I don't know.
I was like, better not attempt it. I suppose, I mean, we've been talking a little bit about mortality.
Yeah. Lately,
you know?
Something made us think recently, someone we know is not well, and it really made me think about this is, I mean, I know everybody goes, life is short, but I don't think people quite realize just how short it is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know, like, we've been sort of talking a lot about life.
I think as well, that's kind of the thing that we're sort of like for example, I know someone in work and he was having some kind of problems with his stomach and that. And like he said, the doctor said to him, look, man, you're not 20 anymore, you know, and like, that's the kind of thing. It's like, I mean, we're in our late 20s, nearing 30, but we're still in that kind of bulletproof sort of mode. but then something happens, like someone close to you gets like seriously ill, and then all of a sudden you kind of
go, whoa.
It's like a kick in the back of the head a little bit, because then you go, ooh. And I know I'm saying that. I mean, I've said before in the show, I used to be an undertaker, so like I know I've kind of been around this a lot more, but when I was an Undertaker, I was in my early 20s, so I even felt like I was more detached from it. Like, you know, even though
you were like a 22-year-old guy, you weren't really thinking about your own mortality that much.
Like, I would help the embalm a dead body, right? A guy who'd like died of some smoking related thing,
yeah,
right?
And you go for a cigarette.
Yeah, and then I go and have a cigarette. I was like, okay.
I know.
Like, it wasn't sinking in at that point.
But you don't think to
like,
do that job, you have to detach yourself from the reality, or else you would just be thinking of death all the time.
You are thinking of death all the time.
I remember actually, when you were in that job. That was fun.
see, the worst bit, actually, the worst bit is, see, I didn't really do so much of this side. It was like, see, the actually talking to families and stuff, because like sometimes you would get people in who were dying and had so many months to live, and they were arranging their own funerals. And like, but I never really did much of that, only a little bit. Some of these people were quite amazing. Like, I remember this woman coming in, and she was like, she only had like, well, it was something like 6 months or something like that, and she was really upbeat talking about she was going on holiday and stuff like that. And I mean, I don't know if she was putting it on or not, but like, I was like,
I mean, I don't think she was like, I was thrilled, but you know,
I was like 20 at the time,
yeah,
and I was like, I just couldn't fathom, like, I was like, I can't imagine me sitting there being you, being like, this I'm not dying, by the way. I just,
Dan's not dying, he's not going anywhere.
Just in case I made it sound like we said we know someone that's
like, bye, goodbye. What? yeah, it's interesting to think about it, and it sort of makes you think life's really, really short, and just like, do what you'd like to do.
I remember the philosopher Alan Watts, he was doing a talk once, and it was he was talking about like visiting his friend in a hospital, and he was saying to him, he was like, man, you know what this is like, his friend was dying, he was like, you know what this is all about. I mean, you could waste your time here and you could live a little bit longer, like, in this hospital room. He's like, or you could take what money you've got left, buy a house by the ocean,
go live, and then just live your life,
and you wouldn't have as much time.
Yeah,
but I mean, what would you rather? Would you rather more time in like a sort of grey world?
It's a sad thing, isn't it?
I'm sorry, we have socialized medicine here, so I like to, I always paint it like every time I mention hospitals, I talk like it's the Soviet Union. I'm always like, these grey walls.
I actually have to say, it's not like I was in a.
Oh, you were in a new hospital.
I was in
the
new. Now, this
I've
is
not
very,
seen
very
the new
fancy.
Hospital yet.
We got this mega hospital. I call it Monster Hospital because
we're in Glasgow in Scotland, just for anyone who's wondering, like,
so we're in Glasgow, and we had a hospital called the Southern General Hospital. Now it's been made into one mega hospital.
Mega hospital.
And they've actually renamed it Queen Elizabeth something Hospital, but everybody here just calls it the new Southern General because that's what everybody knows.
That's a fascinating piece of radio.
I know, right? Everybody needed to know that. That's Americans are on a need to know basis with Scotland, and that was a need to know. So, okay.
You're welcome, America.
You're welcome, the USA, for what I have said. So, this
we are
is
the
happened.
Most uncool radio hosts
we
ever.
Really are, I think, officially. So, I was at this new hospital yesterday, and it was like crazy. They were all private rooms with a big bathroom and stuff, and you don't.
I find that to be kind of weird because, like, I remember.
It's not.
There's an old hospital that's just shut down, and.
Yeah.
That was
wards. It was like shared. It was a big shared ward.
Aye, like just big rooms with loads of people.
No, it's not like that now. When you go to the wards at this new hospital, it's all private rooms.
Weird.
With like an ensuite and a TV and stuff. Aye. It's like
it'll be in that section though, won't it? Like it's not throughout the whole place.
I don't know. Like every ward we were on was all private rooms. It's a new thing.
We're not praising socialized medicine because there's been a lot of problems with this hospital. Actually, it's been
the problem with this hospital is for example, it's like. It's not very well organized. It takes you a while to get around. And it's so big that it takes people sometimes 20 minutes to walk. Some of the nurses get half hour for lunch. It takes some of them 20 minutes to walk from their department to the canteen. It's ridiculous. It's true. Like true? These are the problems that are happening. So it has its problems. But the thing about it is we've just spent all this money, taxpayer money, on this hospital. So we'll see. You know, they're apparently bringing in state of the art stuff. A lot of really, I mean, Scotland's a sick country, and they're bringing
really
in a lot of high end stuff.
I've heard people describe like Britain in general as like the sick man of Europe.
There's a lot of sick people in Scotland. And
talking about that hospital, I remember when I was an undertaker once there, they've got a helipad, and I don't see a lot of exciting things. And we were kind of waiting, we had to like pick up a body from the mortuary, and we get like the like police came around, they told us to like stay there, and then like this helicopter landed, and all these people, it was really quiet. It was, and then all of a sudden all these people like stretchers and white coats came running out, and it was like everything was really quiet, and then it was like chaos for 5 minutes, and then it was all quiet again.
Well, so on the subject of sort of mortality, Dan and I have been talking a lot about that, and you know, I just it's one of those things that sometimes, especially when you're younger, you know, I'm talking like I'm old, I'm not. I'm just saying, like, when I was maybe in my early 20s, I didn't think about it so much, but it's sort of, I'm aware of it now. I think because we're the generation now, our friends' parents are starting to pass. We're kind of getting into that time of our life where...
Aye, because we were of a generation there, maybe say 10 years ago, that like, do you remember there was that point where it seemed like everyone's grandparents were dying?
Yeah, happens in your life though. It feels like in your teenage years, it's mostly people losing grandparents and stuff. And then when you get to our age, it's...
People start losing parents, and then that's hardcore. When it gets serious.
Yeah, it's hardcore.
I know. We're such a downer, man.
I know. Let's stop talking about this. No, but it's a positive message that comes out of that is life is short. Just do it. Shut up and do it.
See, that's why, because I think you can take that two ways. Like I said, you know, someone we know is right seriously unwell. And the two ways, I suppose, you could take that is you could, like, some people would hear that and just get depressed and go, is that what's in store for me? And what's the, you know... You could do that and go down that repressed road and get all bummed out by it if you wanted to.
Yeah.
But, like... I kind of take it the other way, as in, you know, you hear about someone who maybe might not have so long left to live, and instead of being all like, oh, what a bummer, you go, well, we should just enjoy ourselves.
Well, that's the thing, it's a choice, isn't it? And we were kind of talking about that. And
this has been an advert for hedonism, sponsored by me.
Yes. No, we were talking about that, and that's rough.
I know, that's a weird thing.
But you don't have a choice, though. Like, this is what we were talking about, and, you know... See, with things like death as well, one of the things that... I'm not a staunch atheist by any means at all. I'm totally, like, I have no idea
what the
point is.
You're a staunch agnostic.
I'm a staunch agnostic, and I will not shift on that, sir. No, I'm just saying, like, I'm, you know, I don't know what's out there, but one of the things I really don't like is when very, very strong atheists sort of attack people who are maybe at the end of their life for their religious things and stuff. I think some people need that. At the end of their life and stuff, you know, it's tough. That's a tough thing.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Like, why bother taking that away from them? What's the point?
Yeah, because I, you know, some people are like, I have met people that will argue with people about, you know, God and things. And don't do it, man. Just, I'm just talking to people in general. Like, just let people have their stuff. Like just and some people need that. Like, some people do.
I know what you mean. It's like, it's funny how you can, it can sort of change people. So like, without kind of, I'll make sure I don't reveal who the person is, but the, like, say for example, the person we know that's ill, used to be, you might say, a bit of a square, right? But like,
square.
Then the idea was floated to her, you know, that she's ill, of going to say Amsterdam, you know, and having some puff, if you want to put it that way, trying
she was
some
like, yeah,
weed,
sure.
Having a good time. Yeah, and then she was like, yeah, we'll do it. And like, it's the kind of thing that you wouldn't have expected.
Yeah. You know, like. Live your life. Seize the day. I mean, the thing is, I do try, and Dan and I do try and do the things that we want to do, because we know that this could be gone tomorrow. You know, you have to remember that. That's creepy. I'm going to stop talking about death now.
Are you?
Can we stop?
I was just getting into it.
Are you just getting started?
We'll just pack up and leave.
Yeah.
We'll just
go. We'll just let Barney take over the rest of the show.
The next 40 minutes or so
he
of the show.
He can read the dictionary to you. Barney's our dog, by the way, for anybody who doesn't know. For anybody who thinks that we have a child that I talk about.
What, that's exposed to people like us? No, don't worry.
I know. I wanted to talk a little bit about this movie that we watched, Accepted.
Oh, interesting.
Remember?
I do remember.
Right. Well, it was a really good movie. It's called Accepted.
I do have memory.
You do. It's learning. So we watched this movie called Accepted. It's not a new movie by any means at all. And it was about university. And basically, it's this guy who doesn't get into any university, so he makes one up and to escape his annoying parents. And I will tell you more about this after the break. We'll take this trip to the free market.
This trip to the free market.
And we'll be right back.
Get some products. Oops, man. Oops.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Are you sick of peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
Freedom Beans, because you might be dead tomorrow, so why not?
Why not?
It's not the best tagline ever, but you know, kind of works.
If anybody wants to let us know a better one, just send us a hashtag.
Send us a hashtag.
It's like sending an email.
Do you understand how the internet works?
I've sent you a hashtag. Open it up on your computer. Yes. Send us a hashtag. Just hashtag. Just at us. We're on Twitter.
Do you remember what our Twitter username is?
What is it?
I don't know.
Okay. Maybe you should find out.
We're not really...
Really business people, you know.
Call this business?
Is this business? Is that what this is? If I went to business school, I would be shocked. No. Right. We were talking about school.
Yeah, you were mentioning the movie Accepted just before the break.
It was really good. If you want to look... Just look up online. It stars Justin Long.
It's a comedic film with youths.
Blake Lively.
I don't believe in Blake Lively.
Dan loves Blake Lively.
We should actually give the kind of context. I remember one time Katie wasn't in the house, and it's the time she used to get some of these magazines. And I thought, I did the thing that, you know, there's that episode of Friends that Phoebe learns something like obscure that Ross knows, but he doesn't think that she knows. And my version of that was to learn about celebrities that you didn't think I knew.
And then one night we were sitting here and he just went, "So what's new with Blake Lively?" I just went, "Dan, where did you learn that word?" Who taught you that?
Who taught you? But Accepted.
Accepted was good. And it is a really good film all about university. So this young guy doesn't get into any university because he's not, maybe that great academically. So he creates a... What would you call it? Like a fake university to go to.
Is that not so he can like keep the tuition money?
Well,
or something
basically,
like
yeah.
That?
He's like, his parents are basically saying, "We're going to give you 10 grand a year tuition." So he creates this this university, and him and his friends sort of think they're going to have a great, you know, big skive.
Goof off.
Yeah, a big goof off, and then
a big skive.
Situation comedy arises. Certain things were misstrewn at the beginning of the film, and it takes a fun turn.
I suppose as well, like, kind of like, there is these themes of, like, they're supposed to be, like, a big bunch of outcasts. It's
but
like
the whole
people
point,
that...
Yeah.
Because the whole point is that it's maybe a fake university, but they accidentally...
Because they allow
people to apply online, and then all of a sudden all these people show up at their door.
I was trying to say that without saying it though, because that's like a spoiler. Like, spoiler alert.
Well, the Freedom Fiends is one big spoiler alert.
Yeah, you shouldn't listen to this show if there's like things
What's
you want to see.
Hold on, I think Michael laid down the rule before. Is it not that it's more than 6 hours old, it's fair game?
Fair game.
I believe that's the rule.
Okay, so this movie came out like 2000, so we're absolutely fine. So it's
that's
really
15
good,
years ago.
But it focuses on the issue of why do people go to university? I mean, that it does focus on that. And I mean, for the most part, university to me was always put by my family as, if you want a good starting salary, if you want a good job, go to university. Now, I have to say, disclaimer, shock alert, I never went to university. Oh!
Oh my God.
I know. Don't tell any of my patients. I'm a practicing doctor. No. Yeah, I never went to uni, and neither did you, Dan. So.
Oh, because I come across like I went to uni, so you do, just sir. Read that, you know.
You're a brainiac.
It's with my eloquent tongue and sharp wit.
Yes.
And tone
your sharp
voice.
Tongue and your
eloquent wit.
Eloquent wit. Wit, I think.
Wit.
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 I don't want to do this again.
No. But what's interesting as well is because in that movie, they kind of get to this point where they're like, well, they're saying to people, what do you want to learn?
Yeah.
You know, and it's a bit of an unschooling vibe to it.
Yeah, it's more like teach yourself. You can teach yourself. The information is out there.
Yeah.
So these kids sort of start teaching themselves. And one of the things I love is one of the girls is like, he says to her, what do you want to do? And she went, I've been so worried about everything for so long. I just want to do nothing. Yeah. And she sort of practices Zen and she just meditates and
she ends
chills.
Up starting like a meditation class.
Yeah,
doesn't
and
she?
It's like
that's
a good,
I was thinking of it.
I have to say, it was like a cool unschooling film. And it really gave me goosebumps at the end. And I just watch it. I would say if you haven't seen it, you should watch it.
Well, because this is like a debate that always comes up, because now like you get these people that go, well, degrees are practically worthless now, but then like some politicians like that, right? But then they go, but we should get everyone into university. You go, well,
yeah, the thing about that is like here in Scotland especially, it's becoming really, really hard to get into stuff like nursing and medicine. A lot of people are applying because we have such a great big, you know, NHS. It's so ingrained in this country. There's so many jobs. And that's why
government job for life, isn't it?
It keeps growing. I'll talk about this after, about the university requirements and stuff. Yeah.
We'll make some libertarian noises.
Yeah.
Join us.
What?
I just said join us. In a creepy voice.
All right, I didn't know what you said. I can't hear you because we're wearing big microphones.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty Talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Meow.
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 Meow. This is the Freedom Fiends. We're back. I'm Katie Green. I'm here with Dan Green, who is not my brother, but my husband.
The mythical Dan Green.
The mythical Dan Green. The infamous Dan Green.
If you want, aye.
If you want.
So we're talking a bit about the movie Accepting, kind of about like education and unschooling and that kind of thing.
It was really good film, and there's a very interesting character who they sort of hire to be the principal or the dean, if you will. he's a funny kind of guy. I think he does like stand up. I think he's a comedian. I'm not familiar with him though.
Aye, and it's like the guy's parents come in and they're sort of putting on this show pretending it's like a real university. Yeah. And he gives this great speech about education that's kind of hilarious. And
spot on.
Put it this way, it's not suitable for the radio.
Yeah, we can't say it.
There is language in there.
Yes, there is. But it's a good film, though. So I would say go watch that. And, you know, we were talking about things like university, and I was saying about how it's very difficult to get in now to things like, I mean, for example, pharmacy.
Mm-hmm.
To be a pharmacist in Scotland, I mean, there's a lot of opportunities. It's one of the fastest growing businesses. So.
I don't wonder, because everyone's on
something.
Well, that's
the thing,
now.
Everyone's sick. So and pharmacies get
But
paid.
For some reason, medical marijuana is illegal.
Yeah, don't get me started.
Don't get me started. So, libertarian portion
so
of the
thing
show.
Is, like, in this country, because of the NHS, pharmacies get paid. Like, so every time they dispense a medicine, the pharmacy gets a couple of bucks, and the medicine gets paid for, reimbursed by the National Health Service. So that's what that is. That's what that all means. So
And like you said, I mean, it's somewhere you can make a lot of money, but like that's why people are trying to get into it, because here you've got like your government job, basically. I mean, I know like pharmacies are like private companies.
It's
obviously,
it's a bit different for pharmacy. But it's a bit different. NHS. Like, and so in this country, if you go and do something like medicine, which they do at Glasgow University here in Scotland, if you go do something like that, you're looking at, you need to be a straight A absolute without any.
I remember, like, I had a friend who was, he actually got into the dentistry.
Yeah.
And then he actually dropped out later.
Yeah, he didn't do it, yeah.
But, like, he had to make up stuff because, like, remember he was, like, in the interview and the guy was like, do you do things for dexterity? And he was like, oh, I play the guitar. And the guy's like, he thought that would be enough. And the guy's like, uh-huh. And then he looks up at him as if, and he's not sure what to say. So he just, the first thing that came to his head, he went, I build model planes.
Complete lie.
And the guy was like, what kind of planes? And he was just having to like pull things out of the air because like he's never done it in his life. It was just the because he thought just by saying I play guitar, that would be enough to prove that, like, you know, I work on my dexterity. Yeah. And, like, but obviously not.
That's so funny. I remember that. I don't know, like things like university, like nursing as well used to be a thing that you could get into through like college, and I think you can still do it through college, but now it's very much looked at as a thing you go to university for.
Is it? Aye.
But it's all changing, and so it's becoming a lot harder to get into university here, and they've had more and more and more applicants every year. Mm. Because in Scotland it's a bit different. anybody can apply for university here. It's not a privileged thing. We are.
The big universities, obviously, you know, they let in, you know, friends. And
the
that
thing
kind
is,
of
okay,
thing.
See, when you go, you get asked, right? See, for things like medicine and pharmacy, you get asked to like an open night.
Yeah.
And that's your chance to show them what you've got. You don't get asked to an interview. You get asked to, like, an evening.
Ah, weird.
And you schmooze and you do all that kind
of
stuff.
What's funny as well is I went to college for a while and I was, like, doing, like, TV production.
I remember that, yeah.
And, like, the lecturers had kind of said to us, like, they were like, there's not really, especially not in Scotland, there's not really a lot of full-time jobs in TV. They're like, you know, you might be able to get a full-time job with the BBC, but your name needs to be Farquharson or something, you know, you need to be one of these sort of posh people that are in with people. It's like anything else, you know, when they talk about the Masons and stuff like that, you know, because, they scratch each other's backs. Of course they do. They're in the same club.
Yeah.
That's sort of the point of being in the club.
That's the point of being in the club,
So do people in Opus Dei, you know, so do people in everything else. It's kind of the point.
Yeah, that's the point of the exercises, is it completely fulfills its purpose. I'm trying to think of the people I know and did they go to university. For the most part, no.
And the thing is, I mean, university doesn't denote critical thinking. I mean, all it says is that you're
regurgitation.
Exactly.
Unless you do something like English, where you have to actually apply some. I mean, I would look at something like, for example, if you went and did, I don't know anybody that's done it, but English at university, I would imagine there's quite a lot of writing involved.
Like a creative writing part or something like that?
Well, not even just creative, but like, you know, when we used to have to do critical essays and stuff like that.
Yeah,
I suppose that would maybe make you think, but doing something like business studies at university, to me, just sounds awful. Like, that just sounds like the worst thing. If there is a hell, that's what it'll be for me. It'll be someone teaching me business studies
because
not getting it.
I know, I've known people that have ran businesses and not one of them did business studies.
Yeah.
They actually, they learned how to do a job and they got out there, you know, and they were entrepreneurial about it. They didn't, you know, sit in a business studies class.
I know. I mean,
I'm not saying it's not valuable depending on like what you want to do.
Oh, it depends on the individual though. And the thing is, university's just, I don't think it's for everyone. I don't.
Ah, me too. I mean, that's the thing. I know people because like there was especially
I know
this
people
country.
Because I have friends.
I mean, there was a push in this country, especially when like we were at school, to try and get, there was this whole like Tony Blair, let's get everyone a university kind of stuff, right?
I know
people who would have benefited much more if they'd have been like offered like the chance of like apprenticeships or something like that.
Apprenticeships are great, yeah.
You know, say for like something like, you know, even like joinery or plumbing.
I mean, plumbers make so much more than we do combined, you know. Things like that, you know, actual trade jobs. There's a lot to be said for practical learning, you know.
Oh, absolutely. And the thing is, I mean, I know people have said this before, but I feel like it's worth just reiterating the point that in this kind of world now with the internet and stuff, there's so, I mean, you can get a lot of stuff online. You
know, information's not for the privileged few anymore.
A lot of universities put up free courses online. I went through
you
one.
You did one.
And it was, I think it was Yale, and it was like about death.
Yeah,
I think it was Kelly Kagan or something the professor was, and it was actually quite interesting. It was like a philosophy course, but it was kind of to do with death. What is it with being death?
What do you mean all of a sudden? You've always been a morbid dude.
Jesus. You've always been that morbid guy.
That morbid guy over there.
I'm married to that morbid guy standing in the corner with the
black
t-shirt.
See that guy wearing all black with the long hair in the corner? Yep, that's him.
It's that morbid guy.
That's like Christmas.
That's what my one-man show would probably be called, That Morbid Guy.
That morbid guy.
You know what I mean? Half Scottish, half Irish, completely neurotic.
No, don't do it. Don't do it. So funny.
It's a Saturday Night Live reference.
That's so funny. Yeah. I don't want to talk about death anymore. Well, actually...
Well, we're talking more about learning, to be fair.
That brings me... Well,
learning,
yeah, okay.
And then learning about death.
Learning all about it. Now, I was going to talk a bit about Bill Hicks. We've been sort of talking about him lately.
Yeah.
And, you know, he...
Bill Hicks, the comedian, for anyone who's not familiar.
Died young. Tragic.
There is cancer.
Shame. Yeah. It was a sudden, you know, it was...
But, like, yeah, there's that kind of famous show he did, and it's, like, the thing he does, like, when he says, like, how about life and stuff, and he says, like, how it's just a rage, that kind of thing, and... how he talks about people that have been sent to tell us that, people like Jesus and John Lennon, and we kill those people. Yeah.
The thing is, like, I've been thinking about it a lot lately, and his whole thing of it's just a ride, I'm sort of taking that as like a philosophy now. I'm not taking myself that seriously anymore.
Mm.
And you've probably noticed since I've done it, I've been a lot more chilled.
Kate used to take herself very seriously.
Very, very seriously. I was like so overcritical of everything. But now I'm just chill. I just don't. It's not that I don't care. It's not like it's not an apathy thing.
You're
it's
not
just,
a nihilist.
No, it's just that I'm not worried about it because it's just a ride.
Yeah.
That's
the thing. Don't you notice? And I've noticed this as well. It's like some people seem like really addicted to like problems. You know,
drama.
Yeah.
Don't get me started.
Yeah, I see it all the time. You know, people who just, it's like they can't be happy unless something kind of mental is going on in their life. It's like just, whereas we just want a nice, calm, quiet life.
Chill.
Yeah, some people it needs to be tempestuous for some reason.
Yeah.
And then, like, sometimes these kind of people talk to you and they're like, why is this happening? And you're like, well, largely because you made it happen.
Yeah,
because you're addicted to drama. And I think, do you know what, it's a maturity thing. See, the people that are, like, addicted to, like, creating drama in their life for no purpose other than they're bored.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just... In a teenager, fine, right? It's a teenager.
Oh, when I was a teenager, that's all I did.
Yeah, but then see when you're supposed to be, you're claiming to be an adult, you know, and you're creating all this ludicrous drama in your life just to, it's basically just to entertain yourself.
I've met a few people like that in the last few years that I've noticed that I thought, you know, at this point we'd be sort of over that teenage drama stuff. And evidently we're not. Evidently we're still in the belly of the beast, so, you know.
But that's an interesting thing. I mean, I don't know.
I'm just rejecting it. No more drama for me.
That's sort of the difference, isn't it? And like, I don't know why some people really they need that in their life.
Some people need
maybe they need the excitement.
Maybe they do.
The excitement seems like a lot of effort to me.
Do we sound really on our high horse about this, though? Like, some people need this, but I'm great. I don't mean it like that, but like...
I would get off my high horse, but it's so high, I'm worried that I'll fall.
You might fall. Okay, stay up there. I'm off mine now. I'm down here.
Yours wasn't as high as mine.
No, mine
I can see you. Is that you down there on the ground?
Mine was midway, yes. You look very, very tall.
So, my high horse is beside the Galactic Fairy Studios.
So we're exploring chill. And that's what I'm doing. And to quote Alan Watts, what was it, Dan? I am not a...
Oh, yeah, that was back to Alan Watts. Yeah, I'm a sincere person, but I'm not a serious person.
Yeah.
I think it was the other way around. I'm not a serious person, but I am a sincere person.
Yeah,
but the quote works either way.
Yeah, and, like, that's really true. Like, you should be a sincere... Like, I love people, and I love my family, and, you know, I have emotions, obviously, but...
I have emotions.
I have emotions.
You're in a glass case of emotions.
But, you know, I'm not going to take things super-duper seriously, though. Like if I fall in the street or if I spill a drink on myself, just I'm not going
to
cry.
And I'm not
it.
Trying to be on some people, but I just, I mean, it's probably the same everywhere, but like I observe it, there's a certain type of person that lives kind of here in Glasgow, and it's like all they want to do is moan about things. And if they don't have something to moan about, they don't seem happy.
Yeah.
It's like they're looking, and it's like they actually derive pleasure just from complaining about anything.
I don't think that's a Glasgow thing.
I know, that's what I said. It's an everywhere thing. I'm saying my main reference point is here, but I know it's a thing. Everyone's got their version of that.
So anyway, people suck. So that's the thing of our show. No, I'm just kidding. Life is short. Carpe diem. See
we'll wrap
day.
It all up in the next segment. Well, we'll try.
Dan, is this the... Oh, I thought this was the end.
We're professionals here.
Oh!
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say, you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists like Barack Obama and Al Gore taking credit for the web while trying to take over the web? Are you disgusted by experts whose concept of the internet is that it's a series of tubes? Take back the free market of computing by encouraging software developers to adopt the BIPCOT NoGov license. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows any use or modification except by governments. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
Dan Green, redemption in the third act.
Yes.
Indeed. And as always, we're kind of like, we'll try and tie it all together, and then you realise we've talked about way too many different things.
Well.
And then we just end up talking about something different anyway. Let's not kid ourselves on. Let's be honest with the listeners.
Let's. I think we should, Dan.
We owe it to anyone who sat through this.
How do we do this for redemption in the third act? How do we do this?
Well, I don't know. I mean, we had this death theme all the way through.
Some sort of a morbid theme, but...
You know, because we went from, like, Kurt Cobain and, you know, theories surrounding his death to...
Death in general.
Yeah. And then to education for some reason.
And then back to Bill Hicks.
You can tell this is such a professional show just by the way that we're
the most professional show out there, man. I don't know what show you're listening to.
We do drills all through the night. You know, what we do is we get up and then we do 30 press-ups and then sit in front of a microphone and read the intro 40 times in several different languages.
Yeah. Is that what you do? I just sleep. That's all about how I'm exploring chill and just try not to take myself too seriously. It's quite nice philosophy. When you do that.
Katie's philosophy of chilling out.
I know. My mum thinks it's laziness, but it's not. It's a philosophy.
I see. Well, put it this way, as long as like you're not like doing nothing all the time.
No, I'm not doing nothing and I'm not hurting anyone, so I don't really see what the problem is. You know, I do my work, you know, whatever. And
Freedom Feeds, where Katie works out her issues on the air.
I know. Like, I'm really trying.
I'm having these issues with my mother.
I'm having so many feelings.
Why can't we have a call-in line?
No, that would be awful. Like we said, we don't have a call-in line for their benefit.
Yes, for you, the listener's safety.
For you, gentle listener, it's for your benefit.
It's not that we'll beat you in any kind of intellectual debate.
Oh,
it's
God,
just
no.
That we'll ramble at you and you'll kind of get worried.
And then you'll start, and then I'll start emailing you and you'll be like, leave me alone.
And we'll just make random Scottish noises at you.
Yeah, that's what we call our talking. Please never do that again, on air or off air.
Or off air.
There's a list of things you're not allowed to do.
I'll go and add it to the list. There's a big blackboard behind me on the wall.
There's also a list of things I'm not allowed to say. Because they bummed on it.
Katie's got herself into trouble way too many times.
Yep.
You know.
That makes you come off really, really good. She's talked about too much. She's got a mouth on her.
It's because you're that level of famous.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, we talked about fame a bit and how it's gross. And how a I don't know.
And that's the thing, that we're being like genuine, because like we're not talking about, again, we're not talking about like you being in a bar and some, the odd person recognizing you from your band.
I'm talking about the level that Nirvana
about,
were at.
Like, yeah, like when you
or the Beatles were at, you know what I mean? Like when people are going nuts.
You
like,
can't go anywhere without being harassed.
Yeah, that's like, awful. And
I mean, I suppose that was a kind of extreme thing with like even Princess Diana.
Because oh, like sad,
the
yeah.
paparazzi were following her on bikes and stuff, it was yeah. like it was insane.
Dodgy. But, yeah, we should talk about
another conspiracy theory that we need to wait for another show.
Oh God, I don't want to talk about that one. It's been done so much.
Nah.
But no, we actually probably should touch on it slightly. But so talked a lot about death and stuff, and life is short, and the, you know, and Bill Hicks said it's just a ride, you know.
Yeah,
that, just like have fun and just.
That's the thing, you know, like Katie said, we're exploring, not caring, but not in like a nihilistic fashion.
No, there's a big difference. I mean, you can just detach, you can learn to detach yourself from all the horribleness in the world.
And we're not talking about like not leaving the house, we're talking about you can sort of like mentally take yourself out. I mean, I suppose it goes back to all that stoic stuff as well. It's yeah. kind of like span of control.
Yeah. I don't know, I just found myself thinking about people and how do I fit into the world and stuff, and how do I communicate with people, and then I just sort of now just look at it as I'm just sort of observing, and you know, that sounds awful, that sounds disgusting. I don't like how that sounds. I'm not coming off well, but I can promise you my intentions
are good.
I know
what you mean, like it's like what you're saying is like what kind of what we're talking about a little bit earlier. It's like, you know, some people and all they want to do is just focus on the bad things and moan all the time.
Good, just try.
Try to
some
make,
people.
It's a positive libertarian message. Yes. You support this message.
As Bill Hicks, love all the people.
Yes.
Love most of the people. Not all of them. Some of them are bad.
The good people.
Love all the nice, all the good people.
Nice.
Worms, Dan.
Worms, Katie.
Thank you for joining me today.
You're very welcome.
This is long.
The most professional show on radio. It. Is it finished?
No, got another bottle. This is great.
During the break, I saw Kate. Is it finished? Is are we on? Are we on now?
Are we on?
Are we on? Are we on?
I don't believe you.
We're not on. Are we? Are we on?
That's usually what I do. Michael, thank you, wherever you are.